Morning with us. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Psalm 35. And the second to the last verse in this psalm is verse 27. It says, "Let them shout for joy." You know, if you want to shout for joy, you can. "And be glad." So shouting for joy is a little bit different than being glad. What does it mean to be glad? It means like this. Right? "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause." How many here favor God's cause? All right? "Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Did you know that prosperity pleases God? God adjusted that title for me. I had a little bit different, but prosperity pleases God. And he is pleased. He takes delight in. He has pleasure in when his servant prospers. Amen? God's got servants. Did you know that? We're sons and daughters, but we're also servants of God. Jesus was the ultimate servant. And if you want to get to the highest place that you can in the kingdom of God, then be the best servant that you can be. Because Jesus said, "Those who are greatest in my kingdom are those who serve." Amen? Well, God really wants his children to succeed and prosper in life. And all prosperity originates with God. He was the one that came up with the idea, right? When he created man, did man lack any food? Did man have to buy garments? Did man have to worry about predators? Not when God created it. He had everything he needed. He could eat from every tree that he wanted, except for one. But I want you to see that God set man up with abundance. Amen? And when God created this earth, have you noticed that God did not make a small earth? Huh? God made an earth so big that can hold billions and billions of people. Do you realize with all the fishing that's been done, there are still fish being sold in stores? Do you realize that in the jungles, more bananas drop to the floor than the monkeys can eat? Right? Isn't that true? I mean, this earth is so full of resources. Now, I know the people want to tell you that the resources are going to run out. But let me tell you something. God made enough resources to sustain how many of our people are going to be here. Amen? I looked up some statistics. Let me see if I can get to the right page here. And I just wanted to get an idea of just some minerals that are available in the earth right now. All right? And in 10, as of 2000, there are 10 million metric tons of tin. Everybody say 10 million metric tons of tin. That's in reserves. Okay? There are 340 million metric tons of copper. Metric tons of copper. 340 million metric tons of copper in reserve. There are 140,000 million metric tons of iron ore in reserve. 140,000 million. I don't even know what that number is. I'd be like, that's a gazillion. There are 190 million metric tons of zinc, and that's just a few. My point is this. God did not make a small earth. God did not make an earth that lacked anything that we need, anything that we want. I mean, they were mining gold in Egypt, and they're still mining gold today. That's over thousands of years, and the gold supply is still available. They're still able to extract gold from the earth. They've been taking gold out of the earth for thousands of years. My point is this. God takes pleasure. God is delighted. God loves the prosperity of his servant. And guess what? Everything you need is right here. Oh, God's not going to rain down money from heaven. He's not a counterfeiter. If you need money, he will use something on this earth to get you money. Whether it's a person, or whether it's a gift, or whether it's a job, he'll use something on this earth to get you money. The money's already here. But God has pleasure. I'm going to keep saying that until you believe it. Say it. Say, God has pleasure in my prosperity. Amen. And some may say, well, I don't believe in that prosperity. If you've ever denied when your boss wants to give you more money, how many has ever said, no, I'm making enough money? The boss says, I want to give you a raise. I said, no, I'm making enough money. You believe in prosperity. If you've accepted any raise in your life, you believe in prosperity. If you've changed jobs to get better benefits, you believe in prosperity. Amen? I find it humorous. I have seen books written against prosperity, but you know what they do? They don't give those books away. They sell them. If they don't believe in prosperity, why are you selling your book then? Think about it. Some people give this the wealth and health gospel. Well, how many don't want health? And if you don't want wealth, why are you working? Why are you investing? Amen? You go live in a cave somewhere if you don't, you know. Oh, go to Genesis 24. Whew. See, that fire got me all stirred up today. Genesis 24. This is a story of a servant. This is a story of Abraham's top servant in Abraham's company. His name was Eliezer. And before Abraham had any children, before Isaac was born, Eliezer was set to get everything that Abraham owned. He was set to be heir, but God said, look, an heir is going to come from your body, and it's going to be your son, and that's what's going to happen. Okay? So, Abraham wanted to get a wife for Isaac, and he sent his top servant. Who does the Lord have pleasure in? The prosperity of who? The servant. This is really a type and shadow of who we are to God. And in verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And what's that next phrase? And the Lord had blessed Abraham in what? All things. He blessed him in family. He blessed him in his career. He blessed him in his clothing. He blessed him in his health. He blessed him in his mind. I mean, Abraham, he went and did awesome things. As I touched on last week, how many 75-year-olds do you know that start a new adventure or a new business venture? How many 75-year-olds would pick up and leave everything that they have and go out into the unknown? That's what Abraham did. He took everything that he had and he moved. And if you think it's hard moving when you're 25, try moving when you're 75. Imagine how many things you've accumulated by then. Right? So Abraham was, I want you to notice, he was high in age. He wasn't young. See, part of prosperity is prolonging your days. And guess what? Not only does God want to prolong your days, but he wants to sustain you so that as long as you're prolonged, you're sustained as well. He doesn't want you on barely get along street next to Grumble Alley, barely making it. No, if God will prolong your life, he'll also prolong your pocketbook. Amen? Why? Because he has pleasure in the process. See, prosperity is not just money. All right? Because the world can make money. An ungodly person can make money very easily in the world. People do it all the time. You know, people sign big contracts for big money, millions of dollars. But sometimes their lives are in shambles. So prosperity has to be more than just money. Money's part of it, but it's not just money. Amen? It's your health. It's your finances. It's your children. Did you know that God blessed Abraham's children? Guess what? We're still benefiting from the blessing that was on Abraham today. All right? Go down to verse 12. Abraham and his servant, they enter into an oath. And Abraham says, "I want you to go get a wife for my son, but don't bring him there. Bring her here." Okay? Abraham did not want his son Isaac going into the past. He wanted him going to progress for the future. And then go down to verse 12. Eliezer prays. He said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." That phrase, good speed, it also means prosper. For all of you that like to drive fast, I got a scripture reference, good speed. See, fire will mess you up. All right? So he prays to prosper. He prays to succeed. Now, if God wasn't into you prospering or succeeding, why would you pray for it? But he fully believed that any adventure that he did required God's help to succeed. Anything that you do in life, it doesn't matter if you work a new job, you're going to need God's help to succeed. And with God, you will go beyond the normal mark. Anybody who helped God, where they were was much better than when they weren't there, if that makes sense. All right? So he prays and asks the Lord to help him. All right? Go down to verse 34. Verse 34. He meets Rebecca. And one of the qualifications was he wanted to get a woman who worked for Isaac. Now, Isaac was rich. He was the heir of Abraham. He inherited all of Abraham's wealth. Okay? But Eliezer prayed. He said, "Lord, if I go there and ask for a drink of water, let the woman who I'm looking for water my camels." Okay? And he took 10 camels. Can you imagine taking 10 UPS trucks? What's that for? That's for my bride. Oh, the ladies missed a good opportunity to say amen right there. You know, you want a Boaz, not a Brokez. Right? Ladies want a Boaz, not a Brokez. I don't know why I said that. Just, all right. Verse 34, this is what he says now. He's meeting with Rebekah's family, and he says, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master." How? Who blessed Abraham? How did he bless him? Why? Because the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I want you to see that it was the Lord who blessed Abraham greatly. What does it mean to be blessed? It means to be empowered to prosper, to increase, to grow. The Lord blessed Abraham, how? Greatly. Don't ever underestimate God's adjectives. God does not use adjectives lightly. When he uses an adjective, It's heavy weight to it. Okay? The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him has he given all that he has. Now, Isaac did not have to work. But if you read the story of Isaac, you'll find in Genesis 26, he prospered and began prospering until he became very prosperous on his own, not relying on the inheritance that his father gave him. Okay? All right? Go down to verse 40. And once again, this is the servant testifying, and he says, "And he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you to what? To prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house." Is there any doubt in Abraham's statement to his servant? Listen, the God whom I serve. Because the servant just said, well, what if the woman doesn't want to go with me? Abraham said, the God whom I serve. He will go before, he will send his angel before you to prosper. Did you know that angels want to help you prosper? They're ministering servants sent to minister to heirs of salvation. What angels do, angels are the set crew of this drama called life. And they are invisible, and they work behind the scenes, and they set things up. They create opportunities. And if you listen to God, you'll run into every one of those opportunities that God has planned. But you've got to be on the path. Here's one thing that God taught me. My oldest sister, her name is Kristen. She got born again. She was the first one to get born again in our family. I was the second. And my sister Kristen was a registered nurse. She was working the midnight shift 45 minutes away from home, living at home, okay? She was making good money, had a good job, and she was living at home, so she had very minimal expenses. And God spoke to her and led her to the Philippines for 6 months to do a discipleship training school. My sister quit her job. My sister had a boyfriend. They were together for about a year, a little over a year. And my sister left everything to follow God. And when she got to Philippines, the person that was supposed to pick her up wasn't there. And she also got malaria, not a bad case, but a slight case. She encountered some struggle. But while she was in the Philippines, she met a man by the name of Kel Steiner, who happened to be the director of that base in the Philippines at that time. Well, Cal and Kristen, it's a love story. They ended up getting married. Okay, what that showed me was this. If I do what God wants me to do, if I go where God wants me to go, he has blessings along that path that he has for my life. And as long as I'm in obedience to God, I will run into those blessings. I will encounter his goodness. I will experience those good things that God has planned. That's what it taught me. I learned that from my sister. My sister's awesome. She led me to the Lord. And, I've told my story many years now. But God is good. And he wants to prosper you. He wants to increase you. Can you say amen? Amen. Go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. And let's look at verse 2 through 4. Genesis 39, 2 through 4. Now, Joseph, we know, he ended up with a job he did not choose in a place that he didn't want to go. Joseph was working in Canaan for his father. What was his job? He would go report on his brothers. His father would send him on assignment, say, go see what your brothers are doing. You know, he'd go, he'd spy out, you know. He'd come back and he'd give his father a report. So his father knew the condition of his flocks. Now his brothers were jealous because his father treated him better than they did, better than the rest of his sons. He gave him this beautiful coat with multicolors on it. And, you know, Joseph looked like a peacock. Right? I mean, every time they saw Joseph with that coat, his brothers would, Steve would come out of their ears, right? So one day they took action. And they threw Joseph into a pit. They were going to kill him. But thank God for Reuben said, don't kill him. And then they sold him into slavery. Okay? He did not get to choose the country where he wanted to go. He did not get to choose the job he wanted to do. He was forced because he was now a piece of property from someone. And someone in Egypt bought him on the commodity exchange. Okay? Now, most people who would have a slavery mentality, that would affect everything that they do. It would give most people the right to complain, to grumble, to whine. I don't even like Egypt. I didn't choose this job. You may have known someone like that. I know that there's no one here like that. But you may know someone like that. But I want you to know what happened. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Wait a minute now. The Lord was with him in Canaan, and the Lord went with him to Egypt. The Lord stayed with him. Because Joseph was a servant of God. We know this. How do we know this? Because he kept a good attitude through everything that he faced. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a poor slave. It doesn't say that? What was Joseph? Wait a minute now. Wait. Let me get this straight. How can a slave be a prosperous man? Huh? When the Lord is with you, you can be anything that the Lord wants you to be. It was because the Lord was with him. He was a prosperous man, successful. How can you be a successful slave? He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Not only did the Lord prosper Joseph, he did it in such a way that others were like, holy cow, this cat has got some things going on here. There's something about Joseph. It was evident to Potiphar. And Joseph found grace or favor in his sight, in Potiphar's sight. And he what? What did he do? And he what? What's that next word? And he served. Everybody say served. Who does the Lord have pleasure in? Who does the Lord take pleasure in the prosperity of? Servant. He served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he put into his hand. Verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptians' house. Wait a minute, whoa. Now the Lord is blessing the Egyptians' house because of who? Because of Joseph. Because when you carry the Lord, when you carry his blessing, when you carry his prosperity, it will occur wherever you are, in whatever you do. Bless the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And Potiphar left everything in Joseph's hand. Why? Because that's where the prosperity was. That's where the power to prosper was. Because the Lord was with Joseph. Do you see that? Amen? Go to Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29. I'm showing you different people who prospered. And now, this is someone that we can all benefit from. This is for believers. How many believers? If you're a believer, say amen. 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 All right, Deuteronomy 29, verses 8 and 9. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and unto the Gadites and to the half tribe of Manasseh. Verse 9, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that you may what? In what? In all you do. You can prosper when you raise children. You can prosper when you invest. You can prosper in whatever you do. Amen? If you sow something, you can prosper. If you bake something, you can prosper. If you fix something, you can prosper. If you make something, you can prosper. If you build something, you can prosper. If you design something, you can prosper. Prosperity comes by what you do. God will work through you in what you do to prosper you. Because let me tell you, God is delighted. He is delighted and excited when you prosper. He gets excited. All right? All you got to do is keep the words of this covenant. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So there is a part to play if you want prosperity. If you're not keeping the words of the covenant, you sever the prosperity flow. Our part is to keep the words of his covenant. Our part is to do what he says. And his part is to prosper us. Go to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. And look at verses 11 and 12. Ruth chapter 4. This is when Boaz made the agreement to marry Ruth. All right? He was a kinsman of Naomi. And he was a wealthy landowner. And he was an older gentleman. And Ruth was a Moabitess. You know, I wonder if a dentist can fix a Moabite. I don't know. Just throwing that out there. It's okay to have fun, isn't it? It helps the medicine go down a little bit. And look at verse 11. And the people that were in the gate was where they made transactions. The gate was where the witnesses would come to verify contracts. And the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is coming to your house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel, and do worthily in Ephrata. That phrase, do worthily, means to prosper in Ephrata. I'm going to Ephrata today. Maybe I'll prosper. No, I'm just having fun. All right? And be famous in Bethlehem. Do you know what made Ruth famous? Ruth. Do you know one of her descendants? Is David. Ruth gave birth to Jesse, who fathered David. That's why she became famous in Bethlehem. The very thing that they prophesied over her came to pass. She prospered in Ephrata, and she became famous in Bethlehem because David is of the house of Bethlehem. That's why Mary and Joseph, who were descendants of David, had to go to Bethlehem to get counted in the census. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. She's famous because this is her heritage that they prophesied over her, that the Lord did. You ought to get excited about this. Because why should you get excited? Because if he does it for Ruth, he'll do it for you. If he does it for Joseph, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Moses, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Abraham, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Sarah, he'll do it for you. God is no respecter of persons, but he does respect your faith. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. What am I doing? I'm giving you a groundwork of people whom the Lord prospered. People just like you and I. These are biblical examples. All right, 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. David was giving his final words to Solomon, his son. And he said in verse 3, keep the charge of the Lord your God. Keep his word. Walk in his ways. Actually do it. Don't just hear it, but do it. Put the word into practice. Let me tell you something. You know that when you come to this church, you will hear the word of God, right? And I just would encourage everybody to read the Bible every day. The Bible is more important than the food that you eat. Because a wounded spirit, who can bear? I mean, your body can go without food and it'll be okay. It might be a little bit weak, but you can't live spiritually weak. You've got to read the Bible so that you, because when you read the Bible, God reveals himself to you. And God will show you things, and you need to read it over and over. How long do I have to read the Bible until Jesus comes? Until you get a glorified body, and maybe there'll be different ways of taking in revelation. Amen? But you got to be a reader of the Bible. I'm not just a reader. I'm not a reader. Then get delivered of that. You're telling God I can't read your word? I can't feed my spirit? That's ridiculous. You've got to read the Bible. You ought to follow along in the Bible because you ought to know where to find this stuff. At least the chapter anyway. If you're not reading your Bible, you're diminishing your prosperity. Keep the charge of the Lord. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may what? Prosper in what? Did you know that this is the third time we've seen this phrase now? Prosper in all you do? God doesn't want you to prosper in parts. He wants you to prosper as a whole. Every area of life, your spirit, your soul, your body, your emotions, your relationships. Every area that affects you, God wants to increase. God wants to grow. God wants to cause you to abound. And with God, all things are what? To whom? Them that believe. Okay? That you may prosper in all you do and wheresoever you turn yourself, wherever you go. That the Lord may continue his word which he spoke to concerning me, saying, if your children take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail a man to be on the throne in Israel. That's quite the promise, isn't it? But that's also quite the condition that he has to meet. All right? And we know that some kings failed the Lord. There were wicked kings and there were good kings. The good kings followed the Lord. The wicked kings did not. And eventually, Solomon quit following the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord gave the kingdom to his servant, not his offspring. You read about it. Rehoboam. He was the servant of Solomon, not a son. The servant ended up with the kingdom. Can you say amen? Put a big smile on your face and say, the Lord delights in my prosperity. And young people, you might as well start prospering now. You know, Daniel didn't wait till he was 80. Daniel, the Lord made him 10 times wiser than his peers. They went through college, the king's college. And while they were in the King's College, Daniel followed the Lord. He did what God wanted him to do. He didn't eat certain things. He didn't do certain things. How many know that when you're following the Lord, there's things you should do and there's things you shouldn't do? And you've got to be able to distinguish. There are things that we do that do not come or represent the Lord whatsoever. God's saying, that's on you, man. I had nothing to do with that. That's you. And Daniel prospered. Daniel served four kings. Foreign kings. Daniel wasn't a citizen of Babylon, but he became second in command. Joseph wasn't a citizen of Egypt, but he became the prime minister. Whew. My goodness. Go to 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Not to be confused with ABC's 2020. 2 Chronicles 20:20. I'm telling you, the fire just messed me up today. All these things are coming out. I'm like, what? Where are these? Goodness. You know, there's a minister that I like to listen to. His name is Leroy Thompson. And he's from Louisiana. And he says, goodness. I mean, he sometimes he can't speak clearly, you know. He's kind of like a Cajun type thing. But, he says some good stuff. Blesses my life. 2 Chronicles 20:20. This is the story of Jehoshaphat. If you read the story of Jehoshaphat, he walked with God and the Philistines sent him gifts. You know that you're prospering when your enemy sends you gifts. Amen? You know that you're prospering then. All right, verse 20, 2020. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you, what? Prosper. Did he say shall? What do you have to do to experience the shall? He said it twice. What do you have to do? You got to believe in the Lord. You got to believe his prophets. What's a prophet? A prophet is someone who speaks under inspiration of God. I'm not a prophet. I'm a pastor. But I guarantee you I'm speaking under the inspiration of God. God wants you to prosper. Why does God want you to prosper? Because there's a great work that needs to be done. And he needs financiers. My pastor in Illinois always used to say, the gospel is free, but the pipeline costs money. Amen? And I have yet to know drug dealers giving offerings to get the work of the Lord done. It's the body of Christ that supports the body of Christ. Amen? So as God prospers his body, the body can do more in this earth. That's why God wants you to prosper. He wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. He wants to increase your blessing so that you can be a greater blessing. Amen? Are you on board? Say, increase me, Lord. Increase me. Right now. Right now. It's not based on where you work. It's not based on what you do. It's based on who you know and who you walk with and who you display in your life. Amen? So you believe the Lord, you'll be established, you believe his prophets, and you will prosper. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. You know, if I was in a courtroom and I was a lawyer, I would be presenting you evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. I would call to my witnesses, Joseph, call to the stand. Solomon, come to the stand. Jehoshaphat, come to the stand. Abraham, come to the stand. I would present these as witnesses to testify to what God did for them. And what God did for them is exactly what he will do for you. Amen? 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3 and 5. And I want you to listen that within these things, there are also keys and our parts to play. "16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign." Everybody say 16. How many 16-year-olds do we have in here today? All right. I'm 16 with a lot of experience. Amen. Can you imagine becoming king when you're 16? What does a king do? A king reigns. Are you ready to reign at 16? "And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord God, God made him to what? You mean I can prosper from seeking God? Yes. Why? Because when you seek God, he will show you where to go, what decisions to make, what steps to take. If God wants to do you to do something in this earth, he shows you by steps. He will never show you the whole thing. He will show you in stages, because every stage requires faith for you to go to the next stage. You step by faith into this stage, then he shows you the next stage, then you step by faith into that stage, he shows you the next stage, and that comes from seeking God. If God calls you to do something, don't just take all your experience and all your knowledge and do it. Take time to seek God. When should you seek God? First. Seek God before you get on the phone. Seek God before you talk to your friends. Take some time and seek God. Say, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this where you want me to go? Lord, is this something that you want? And sometimes that takes a little bit of time. God does not run a fast food kingdom. You can't just go through the drive-thru and, yeah, I'll pick up a couple directions to go, please. Doesn't work that way. You have to have a relationship with the Lord. You have to talk to God. You have to be able to listen to what he has to say. You have to be able to give up your ways for his ways. Sometimes what God asks of a person is not something that they want to do. And so there's a little struggle with that. Hey, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and deliver my people. God, I really am not an eloquent person. Oh, that's okay. I've made your mouth. Who should I say that sent me? Tell him I am that I am. I'll send your brother Aaron. He can speak for you. Did you know that God answered every one of Moses' excuses until he ran out of excuses? And God will do the same thing for you. Eventually, you'll run out of excuses, and you'll get to the point where you might as well do what God said, because you have no more excuses. Okay, God, I don't have anything else to say. Okay, let's go. You know, I mean, God has ways of persuading people. Be glad that you don't get swallowed by a great fish. Be glad that you're not faced with being thrown into a lion's den if you pray to someone else other than God. Don't be afraid to be thrown into a fiery furnace that's so hot that when people come near it, they get burned. You realize the people who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in got burned to a crisp? But they didn't. Don't be afraid to walk into a city and get stoned to death like Paul did in Derbe. And while he was laying on the ground, lifeless, the body of Christ gathered around him and prayed. And he got up. And what did he do? He went right back into that city. The people from that city just took him outside the gate and stoned him. And he went right back into the city. That's someone who knew that he would prosper wherever he goes. Don't be afraid if they put you in shackles, in a dungeon, in darkness. All you got to do is just start praising God. You talk about prosper in a jail cell. Prosperity came into that prison in Philippi. Prosperity shook that place. Do you realize that not only the chains and the prison door of Paul and Silas were open, but every other prisoner in that prison was opened and their chains fell off? They were so afraid they didn't want to leave the cell. The jailer said, everyone left. And Paul said, we're all here. I mean, the prisoners were like, oh, I'm not moving. What happened? They didn't know what was happening, but they heard the guys praising. I wonder how many of those people in prison got born again because they heard Paul and Silas praying. And I don't even know why I'm saying, someone needs to hear that today. I don't know who you are, but someone needs to hear what I'm saying today, because that's not even the direction I was wanting to go. It's about seeking the Lord. You're always going to have opportunities to choose between this world and God. Every day. And prosperity is always with God. It's never apart from God. It's never away from God. It's always where God is moving, where God put his name, where God's presence is. You know, God, yeah, God is everywhere, but you know, he's not manifesting himself everywhere. He only manifests himself in certain atmospheres. I'll give you an example. When Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue, he came to Jesus. Jesus had agreed to go to his house, right? So Jesus and Jairus and everyone who was with Jesus, they're walking to Jairus' house. And all of a sudden, this woman came, interrupted the whole proceeding. Now Jesus has got to take time out for this woman. But this woman had faith. Jesus went to her because of her faith. Her faith interrupted Jesus. And guess what? When faith interrupts something, it's not going to stop the flow of faith in somewhere else. Jesus ministered to this woman. She got healed because of her faith. She touched him. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Because faith interrupted him. Your faith can interrupt Jesus anytime, and he won't consider it an inconvenience. When faith interrupts Jesus, he is not inconvenienced. He's excited. Because he knows when faith interrupts him, something's about to happen. When faith interrupts, his power erupts. That just came up for me. If you want something to erupt, then you need to interrupt. Okay? So the woman gets healed. Now they're going back to Jairus' house now. What happened in between the time that the woman was touched, between the time they got to Jairus' house? His daughter died. The servant came out and said, "Don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter's dead. Nothing to do now." Jesus looked at Jairus. He said, "Do not fear, only believe." Jesus and Jairus looked at him and said, "Okay." So they went into the house, and just as Jairus had asked him, he said, "If you come and place your hands on my daughter, she will live." What did Jesus do? He touched her, just like Jairus asked. And when he touched, he said, "The daughter's not dead, she's sleeping." And everybody was there thought he was crazy, because they had professional mourners. They were, "Oh! Oh! I mean, that's what was happening. Jesus walked in and interrupted their mourning. Not the daytime, but the crying, the mourning. And he says, "The daughter's not dead." And they'd be like, you know, I could just see Gary Coleman. "What you talking about, Jesus?" And then he had to put him out. "Y'all need to get out." He took in Jairus, Peter, James, and John, and Jairus' wife. He went in and he touched her. She arose from the dead. Just because the woman's faith interrupted him here, it didn't stop the flow of faith here. Faith was still working. Can you see that? Someone needed to hear that. So you need to take it and receive it. It's time that we get really serious about seeking God. You can tell when someone's serious by how they talk and how they behave. And when a person comes to the Lord, he adds consistency to your life. You know, I got born again when I was 12 years old. And I can't tell you, I mean, I've been going to church ever since I was younger than 12. Of course, I was going to a dead church for 12 years until God resuscitated me and brought me to life. And, you know, blessed that church, but that church was dead. Because I fell asleep every time I was there. Nothing was happening. You know, when things are dead, nothing moves. Right? But life, there's movement. There's energy. There's... God takes pleasure in your prosperity. It's not based on age. It's not based on ability. It's based on faith. It's based on how you walk with the Lord, how you follow His commands, how you do what He says. It's not based on skill. God doesn't pay the highest price to the most skilled. Peter and James, the Bible, people said these are unlearned and ignorant men. And they were amazed at what they were saying. But one thing they knew, they'd been with Jesus. Their time with Jesus overcame their ignorance and their unlearnedness, if that's even a word. I don't know and I don't care. You're here today and you're hearing these words. And God is looking for people who will allow Him to prosper them the way that He wants. When God prospers you, you know what happens? He anoints your head with oil and your cup overflows. In other words, when God prospers you, you can't contain it within yourself. It's got to be distributed. It's got to be shared. It's got to be dispersed. So you're here today, and I know that God wants to prosper you. I know that it is His will to prosper you. And the next 2 weeks, I'm going to give you some practical ways to prosper from the book of Proverbs. I'm going to give you 8 practical ways. What are those ways? You've got to come next week to hear them. But there, God showed me 8 ways, 8 very simple things that we can do from the book of Proverbs to prosper. And I'm going to share those with you over the next 2 weeks, so you don't want to miss. All right? But God wants you to prosper today. God wants to prosper you in your body. If there's anybody who is sick and needs healing, God wants to prosper you in your body. Prosperity will override sickness and diseases and infirmity. And it'll make you whole. It'll take all the pieces. God wants to prosper you in your soul. If you're not right with God, you know it. Then the only thing there is to do then is to get right. Amen? Repent and just make it right. That can happen immediately. Don't leave today without fully being committed to the Lord. Amen? If you need healing in your body, if you need to be committed to the Lord, if you just need to prosper in every area, there is an anointing to prosper here today. Amen? Does that mean that tomorrow you're going to go and everything is going to be... No, it is a process, but this jump starts it. Right? This gets the engine going. Okay? So if you need to prosper in your life, I want you to come up today. And God's going to help you prosper because He loves you. You're important to God.